Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we are discussing how can small business owners limit liability during a pandemic, and we are joined by founder and CEO of 101 CBD, Justin Benton. Thank you for being here with us today, Justin.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm very honored and glad we can have this discussion when there's lots of questions out there, and we can answer some questions and calm some nerves and look to the future.
There certainly are. And before we jump directly into that topic, I want to ask you, how has your day-to-day life been affected in Ventura, California? What has changed for you as this as the coronavirus has impacted your community?
Well, I mean, just like everybody, you know, all of the first it was the school closings and dealing with teaching, you know, your kids at home and kind of getting that all thing. And then the work from home thing started. And you know, then the businesses started closing and all of that. And so we're all going through that together and just trying to figure out, you know, what's daily life look like? And how is that, how do we make those adjustments in the office? You know, we're open and we're going to continue to stay open. Dispensaries in California, even in San Francisco, where there was a shelter in place guidance, they are keeping the cannabis dispensaries open because as we all know, it is medicine for so many people. And so we're staying open. You know, we're staying in constant contact, with our customers, be it through social media, be it through email, be it through face-to-face. You know, we're obviously following the CDC guidelines on sanitizing and cleaning all the registers and washing hands and doing all the right things that we're supposed to be doing. And you know, our customers we have three locations, one in Denver, one in Ojai, and one in Westminster out there in Denver. And they're very happy that we're open. And they ask, are you guys going to be open? And we just tell them we're going to stay open as long as we can and as long as we're needed and in compliance with local and state authorities. And if for whatever reason we can't stay open, just like others in this space, you know, there's other options, whether it's curbside, whether it's delivery. You can even transition an employer to a delivery driver. Just always kind of thinking ahead because, from what I've read, there's been a real big rush on cannabis products and CBD products as people are kind of hunkering down. So it's just, you know, staying in constant contact with your employees, you know, just being honest with them. We're all in this together and being candid, staying in constant communication with your employees, your clients, just everybody. So everyone's on the same page and we'll get through this thing. You know, we've been through a lot in this country, and I'm confident that as long as we keep, you know, looking for the best in humanity and working together, we'll get there.
Hey, Justin, it's Bob. I appreciate you taking some time to join us, and thanks for that background. As we look at different liability issues that might be more in the front of your mind or in the front of any business owner's mind in this cannabis space, in light of the coronavirus, some things come to mind about insurance for losses as it might relate to liability concerns, product liability, contract liability, workers' compensation, and employee-type liabilities. Before we dive into each of those, maybe you could talk a little bit about what procedures can you put in place to make sure from a production, manufacturing, bottling, and distribution standpoint, that you as a small business owner are putting products out there into the marketplace that are as risk-free as humanly possible?
Absolutely. I mean, there are certain procedures out there that you can do. The CDC has done a lot of great information on their website. It's very simple things, you know, hand sanitizing after each transaction or cash handling. Obviously on the back end of manufacturing and production, you're adhering to CGMP guidelines and standard operating procedures, and you know, the, all the things that you're supposed to be doing anyways, with it, the gloves and the hair nets and anything else that you would be doing in like a restaurant, public health type of facility. You know, for the retail end of things, you know, hourly hand washing, you know, just the basic things that you would be doing to make sure that you stay clean, that everything has been as clean as possible. The biggest thing, too, obviously, is if people are sick, you know, they know not to come to work. We go one step further, and we've seen some guidelines on this, is to make sure that everyone's taking their temperature twice a day. Once in the morning and once in the evening, just to make sure we know that with this particular coronavirus, that there's a temperature rise above 99.5 and it stays steady for at least 3 days. In fact, there's a smart thermometer out there that's tracking millions of data points in our country, and they're actually able to predict hotspots. So again, the innovation is here in our country. We're, you know, that's what we've always been known for as Americans. You know, first to the moon, and we're going to continue to use intelligence and data and AI and whatever we can to get ahead of the curve on this thing and make sure we're doing all the right things.
Well, you've probably seen that San Francisco and New York have both deemed cannabis businesses as essential businesses during this pandemic, which is both accurate. But also, you know, concerning when you have retail outlets such as yourself in a certain respect. When you think about people that are trying to take advantage of the scenario, people that are going out there in your line of business and your product lines, you know, making high quality CBD or non-psychoactive cannabinoid products from industrial hemp, people are out there making claims that, oh, this will cure this or this will suppress viruses or this will kill bacteria. While those things might be true scientifically as it relates to CBD and other cannabinoid products, we've all been aware that some companies have taken more liberties than they should with making those claims. You probably have seen these claims out there specifically as it relates to CBD. How do you perceive that? How do you guard yourself against those other companies that are out there saying CBD will cure the coronavirus, for example, and those liability concerns?
Well, great question. And to follow up with your previous question, too, about, you know, insurance, you know, make sure that all of your insurance is up to date. Make sure that you're, you know, check in with your insurance agent and make sure you're covered. And then check in with, you know, perhaps the world's greatest and, in fact, the world's greatest cannabis, you know, attorney law firm in your, you know, establishment out there in Denver, and make sure that you're doing everything right. And that's the same thing I would do with, you know, if you're putting claims out there on the internet. If you do your due diligence and check with, you know, someone, an attorney that you trust that has experience in the cannabis industry, and to have them do it a once over and make sure that you're not crossing any lines and you're dotting I's and crossing T's. So again, just check with the professionals. And make sure that you're not putting yourself in a liable situation, and use good common sense. We all know that CBD has been, you know, just recently made, you know, taken off the Controlled Substance Act. And so the FDA is really gray, and, you know, we see positive signs and sometimes negative signs from them. And, you know, they're looking and they're the marketing police. So just make sure that you're, you know, you're checking with a professional, that someone can look through your claims and make sure that you're not pushing the envelope. And that would be my advice, is, you know, work with someone like you guys to make sure that everything that you're saying is, you know, is correct and accurate.
Well, that's much appreciated, and certainly something that we would agree on 100%. Looking at other forms of liability that are maybe exacerbated or more highlighted in this time with this COVID virus, what about contract liability? Everybody's got contracts. Every business on earth has contracts of some sort, whether they're supply, service contracts, deliver this on time, do this on time, do this by this date. How do you look at contract liability in this time, where sometimes it's not practical, or certainly maybe it's impossible to bring products and comply strictly with contracts because of the lockdowns, if you will, and the curfews, and the fact that business is not what it was even 2 weeks ago?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing you should do is be proactive and reach out through the institutions or the individuals that you have contracts with, and have a conversation. And, you know, more times than not, people are going to understand that this is an unprecedented time, perhaps in the world's history, that we're all doing the best we can. And I know that we're doing a lot of creative things with the federal government, and we're still waiting to see what they're going to come out with. And, you know, as far as, you know, taking mortgages and pushing them maybe to the back of the mortgage in 3 months or things like that, they're going to be creative and come up with some type of contingency plan. Hopefully working together with the person that you're in contract with and say, hey, this is the new things, you know, maybe let's come together and figure out something, whether we put a pause button on this or we renegotiate a new contract. That would be my advice. And again, you know, talking with, you know, professionals like yourselves to make sure that if there are some speed bumps or some dicey things, that you're making sure that you're covered and all those good things. But I think overall right now people get it, what's going on. And in some cases, there's been extreme success, you know, in the cannabis industry. Specifically, CBD's been doing pretty well. But I think cannabis, you know, as far as the dispensaries go, all my information has been that business has been up. But obviously that could slide as more of us are kind of sheltered in place.
When you look at the CBD portion of the hemp industry, CBD as an ingredient, CBD as a product, and you look at the supply chain associated with that, obviously this is going to impact the supply chain. We're going to talk at length about what farmers are going to do as it relates to planting hemp this season for harvest at the end of the year to keep that pipeline full. But as you look at the supply chain, from your perspective as a manufacturer and a distributor of products, how do you see this affecting the pipeline, the supply chain?
Well, you know, as soon as this started to come down and we started getting inklings overseas that this was happening, I mean, the first things that we did here at 101 CBD was to go out and make sure that we had enough, you know, of everything that we would need for the next 6 months. So we made sure that all of our products and all of our bottles and labels and everything, marketing materials, basically we just stocked up, you know, and we had a normal kind of 30-day cycle of refilling and, you know, quarterly, but now it was like, okay, you know, because so many things are, sometimes you buy things here in America, but they're made overseas, whether you know that or not. And, you know, we foresaw this coming. The good news is, as far as the product side comes, you know, China yesterday, you know, has came out and said that for the first day, they didn't have a new coronavirus test come positive. So there looks like they're kind of out of the woods. And we know that so many products come from China, as far as the product and the bottles and the droppers and those types of things. You know, we don't sell vapes, but, you know, for those that do in the cannabis, obviously so much of the vaping comes from over there. So that supply chain looks good. As far as the farmers, you know, I know you talk extensively about the next big wave in hemp. And it feels like we're getting there quicker than maybe some had imagined of going beyond CBD. And I know you've talked extensively about it and have great insight for people to understand all the capabilities of the plant and what we can do with it. And we love, you know, working and collaborating with you and others that are ready for that next, you know, frontier to come, whether it's, you know, the industrial textiles of the plant or the plastics or, you know, the farm feed or even the farm insulation for like chicken beds. And, you know, the list goes on and seeing those come to fruition as well. You know, we're always very encouraging, and we work with a lot of local farmers out here in Southern California and helping them. And we've had some really good grows out here in California. Very, very positive feedback. Not too many people went too big. So we had a really nice grow, you know, for our first year with hemp. And so, you know, I'm just always going to stay positive and and, you know, obviously don't overextend yourself as a farmer who's growing as far as supply comes. But the best thing to do is when you're going to grow a new hemp harvest is to, as best you can, get it sold before the seed goes in the ground. Or at the very least, have the product sold or have some type of tolling, transaction in place, so it's already basically pretty much sold. That might be, you know, easier said than done, but that's really the smartest thing to do, is to make sure it's kind of already been purchased before the seed's actually harvested.
Now, so as we talked about China, and China is, let's not forget, the number one industrial hemp, at least plant producer, on planet Earth, and it has been that way for some time now. And a lot of those products never did make it directly into consumer goods for a variety of reasons based on the conditions of growing in China. I've been there. We've read enough stories about heavy metals and pesticides in that supply chain. But to your point, sometimes that product comes out of China and gets, quote unquote, cleaned in Europe or other places, and then makes its way into the CBD or the non-psychoactive cannabinoid supply chain. As we look at that supply chain being disrupted significantly, meaning Chinese products are probably, they were difficult to get into the United States, period, because of the history, as I just mentioned, but now it's going to be even more challenging. So as you look at this, what opportunity does that create for the U.S. hemp industry, the U.S. CBD industry, if you will, to capitalize on the fact that Chinese products are probably going to be even more difficult to put into mainstream commerce because of this, let alone if they even get back on their feet anytime soon? How does that create opportunity here?
Well, that's the great thing, is we have so many farmers that, you know, planted hemp last season and are going to double down and triple down this year. And there's plenty of American grown CBD that passed the pesticide and passed the heavy metal test right here in the good U.S. today. So we don't need to import any more hemp from China based on CBD. And as we expand and more acreages are being planted, I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to sustain just amongst ourselves. And I know there's farmers out there, and I know you've talked about fiber, and there's plenty of farmers out there that are already eyeballing that and seeing that as that opportunity. And as the processing plants come in, the facilities and the infrastructure come in, I fully am confident that we're going to be self-reliant here in the United States. And I, just like you said, I mean, we only, you know, use U.S. grown hemp in everything that we do. And, you know, we have the farmers that we grow with and here in Southern California. And I would encourage everyone to try and buy locally, like a farmer's market, and support your local economy and support your local community. And there's plenty to go around. And if you need any help finding some good hemp, you could reach out to us or reach out to Bob. There's plenty of inventory here in the United States for all of your CBD needs.
Justin, I want to ask you, as we think about some of the other applications of hemp, there's certainly other cannabinoids as well, and we've seen some increased interest in CBG, CBN, for example, and I know you guys are a full-spectrum formulator. Do you have a forecast on what you see as being kind of the next gold rush on a cannabinoid right now?
Oh, we're going to get into the nerd CBD cannabinoid science portion of the call. Great. That's me. So, again, our biggest thing is the whole plant. It's the whole plant. And Dr. Ethan Russo and Dr. Raphael Mishulam, who founded and named CBD back in 1963, have come out with those studies. And we've known that. It's the whole plant. Everything that goes on in that plant. There's over 500 plant constituents. They work together like a fine symphony. So you don't want to take anything out. That's our motto. That's their research. That's their findings. Is, and those cannabinoids are there. There's roughly 113 cannabinoids in the cannabis plant. And they're all great. And so our advice is always to keep the plant together, It's fine for those who want to do research on specific cannabinoids to maybe isolate them, like CBG or CBN. We're obviously big in CBDA, the acidic precursors, and CBGA. That's really what we're about. We're not about manipulating the plant in any way. All of our processes are cold extraction. So as far as the next big thing, you know, I think it's great that people are looking for other parts of the plant. You know, there's a lot more research going into the flavonoids. There's a lot more research going into the terpenes. You know, and I firmly believe in the next couple of years, we're going to be developing plants through genetics that are really made for us. It's like your own personal plant in your backyard, like tomatoes. But this one tends to be really good for inflammation and pain, or this one tends to be really good for nausea, or really good for anxiety. And by finding out how these cannabinoids work and how they work with our individual bodies and our individual receptors, and the terpenes are really the delivery system of them, it's going to be really exciting to see how that all unfolds. CBG is very, it seems to be logical that people are into that. You know, there's still some more testing. We've grown some plants out here. My personal experience with CBG is it seems to be more focus related. So maybe if someone who was, you know, was kind of, you know, a little hyperactive or just kind of maybe a little overwhelmed or has a big study, a big test to study for, CBG might be something for them. That's been my experience. CBD seems to go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Justin, so when you talk about CBG, what I've been told by many people is the beauty, if you will, of CBG is that you can take it, and if you have the right laboratory setting, you can modify, and I'm a lawyer talking about what a lab setting means, so it's not as informed as it should be, but CBG can be turned into other cannabinoids, including but not limited to THC, CBD, so forth and so on. So the idea, as I understand it in a lot of respects, behind creating and storing and wholesaling CBG products is that you can ship that product, so long as it's in a condition that can be preserved and doesn't spoil, and then turn that CBG into any cannabinoid you want in the future, depending on what the market dictates and what the market requires. So that's my lawyerly understanding of what you can do with CBG. What's your reaction to that?
Well, good question. The point is that CBG is the mother cannabinoid. So as the little seedling pops out of the ground, it's all CBG in there. And it's technically CBGA because it's in its acidic precursor state. So as it grows based on genetics, yes, it's going to turn into predominantly a CBD strain, which we know is hemp, as long as it's less than 0.3 THC, or veer to the right and become a high cannabis THC strain. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of us, of American ingenuity and the world too. Israel's doing some great research, is if we can find things that and continue to turn that mother cannabinoid into particular cannabinoids, that's fantastic. But again, for us, we're more interested in the whole plant. Specific cannabinoids are great, but when you take that specific cannabinoid with 112 of its, you know, cousins, along with the flavonoids and the terpenes and the, you know, all the amino acids and fatty, you know, omega-3s and 6s, that's really the magic of the plant, the miracle of the plant, if you will. So that's our perspective, where we're holistic here. But I know some people like to be very specific, and they like dosing, and they like milligrams, and they like to go that way, especially scientists and researchers, and obviously more of the pharmaceutical model, which is great. And I applaud anybody, you know, cannabinoid medicine. If you're using cannabinoids, I'm a fan of all of them, all 113.
Well, obviously your passion comes through here, and that's much appreciated, and that's why we enjoy talking with you and working with you so much. We're about to run short on time here, but I really wanted to focus on one last thing before we wrap this up, and that is access. So whether you call people that use your products or similar products patients or customers or just friends, how do they continue to access this product, and what impact will this have on pricing given the shutdowns, the lockdowns, the curfews, et cetera? What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, well, again, it's we got to just kind of stay up to speed with what our local government and state government is telling us as far as, you know, whether it's closures or shelters in place for businesses and things like that. You know, one kind of comical note is, for those that watch Seinfeld, they're used to, you know, like Newman would say, nobody can stop the mail. So just, you know, remember, as long as, you know, we'll adapt. And whether it's curbside delivery, whether it's delivery, you know, we work with some local delivery companies out here that you know, will take our products door to door. The United States Post Office, you know, like I said with Newman, that's always an option for us and for others. You know, going to the website. You know, I know a lot of dispensaries obviously have websites. If not, there's the Weed Maps and the Leafly's of the world. You know, reach out to them and see how things are going with them. I know I've seen a lot of emails from CBD companies and basically anybody I've given my email to in the last 5 years, everyone's telling me their policy. So, but, you know, it's just stay in contact and it's the owners in this space. You know, I think there will probably be some deals, some prices will drop. I know we've run some specials just to kind of make sure people, while we know they can still get it, and discount where we can to make sure that they have enough to feel comfortable. Because in this new time that we're in right now, for so many people, we know the benefits of cannabis, and some of the benefits for so many people, you know, they experience, you know, pain is obviously a big one, but certainly anxiety and sleep. And so if it helps with those things, especially sleep and anxiety in these times, sleep is the most important thing for our bodies to naturally heal themselves, and obviously when there's an uneasy, uncertain time, anxiety is a great thing too. So we're going to do everything we can. I know everyone else is out there, you know, and I really am comforted, and I look forward to seeing how we all kind of pull together, especially in this community. It is such an amazing community, as so many of us are in here, really got here for the right reasons and to help others and serve others and help clients, and as long as we stay focused on that, we're going to pull through this thing better than ever, and look back and know we did it together.
Well, as we all weather this storm together, we really appreciate you coming and sharing your perspective with us, Justin. It's very valuable to hear from a small business owner, and honestly exciting to hear about all the potential and further opportunities with hemp and cannabis, and there's certainly a lot to look forward to on the other side of all of this. So thank you for being here with us today, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you. You bet. Thank you both, and stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see each other soon down the road.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minutes special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to Hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. And stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, Coronavirus and Cannabis.